And this week is our missions week. It's my favorite week of the entire year because I believe there's nothing that we do here at Oak Creek Assembly of God, or in that matter, for that matter, any church anywhere, that's more important than reaching out to our world with the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what this week is all about, learning about our world, learning about the world's need, and seeing what God has to say to each and every one of us about our role in engaging in the mission. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. And starting with verse 9, at first it may seem like this strange portion of Scripture for a missions week, but listen to what it says. It says it was early on Sunday morning when Jesus came back to life, speaking of the resurrection, of course. And the first person who saw him was Mary Magdalene, the woman whom he had cast out seven demons. She found the disciples wet-eyed with grief and exclaimed that she had seen with Jesus and he was alive, but they did not believe her. Later that day, he appeared to the two who were walking from Jerusalem into the country, but they didn't recognize him at first because he had changed his appearance. When they finally realized who he was, they rushed back to Jerusalem to tell the others, but no one believed them. Still later, he appeared to the 11 disciples as they were eating together. He rebuked them for their unbelief, their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him alive from the dead. Now, verse 15. And then he told them, "You are to go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone, everywhere. Those who believe and are baptized will be saved, but those who refuse to believe will be condemned." Look at verse 15 one more time. "You will go into all the world and engage the good news with everyone, everywhere." One more time. "You will go into all the world and engage the good news with everyone, everywhere." Now, this passage, along with Matthew chapter 28, is often referred to as the Great Commission. These words are the final words Jesus spoke to his disciples just prior to his ascent back to heaven. Now, for all practical purposes, these few words comprise what would be called his last will and testament for all that would come and follow after him. However, it is more than just a last will and testament. It is clearly an assignment. Our assignment as given here is clear and it's very simple. We are to go everywhere and tell everybody that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man cometh unto the Father but by him. Now, I love the way the Bible records how the disciples enthusiastically responded to this command of the Lord to go everywhere and tell everyone that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. In Matthew, or rather in Mark 16 now, verse 19, it says, "When the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven and sat down at God's right hand." Aren't you glad that he's in the throne right now and he's watching over this planet? "And the disciples went everywhere." Here they are. The disciples went everywhere preaching, and the Lord was with them and confirmed what they said by the miracles that followed their messages. Now, the early church was enormously successful in their impact upon this world and the culture of their day. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts that they turned Jerusalem upside down, and they did so engaging men and women with the good news of Jesus Christ. From Jerusalem, this good news went from Jerusalem to Judea, from Judea to Samaria, and from Samaria to the uttermost parts of the world. Everywhere they went, they engaged their world, pushing back the curtain of paganism. Historians tell us that by the year 100 AD, they had evangelized the then known world. Just think about that. In less than 70 years, they had literally reached and evangelized the then known world at that time. Historians tell us that Christians were engaged in every single facet of life. Christians were found in government. They were found in education. They were the ones who were leading in science and medicine and law. You might say that in every realm of life, they were the butchers, the bakers, the candlestick makers, simply meaning that they were in every single realm of life. They were more persecuted, possibly, than any other group that has ever been Christians here on this planet. And yet, they stayed engaged. When they were scattered, rather than becoming bitter and silent, they engaged their new surroundings, and Christianity then began to spread like wildfire wherever they were driven. Sadly, however, the church over the years has moved from an offensive posture to a defensive posture. Circle the wagons, play it safe, don't rock the boat, be incognito, stay under the radar. Friends, while we have disengaged, playing it safe, the enemy's been having a heyday. Nations that were once profoundly Christian have increasingly become more agnostic and atheistic. All across Europe, once vibrant churches are now sitting empty and have been, in many cases, repurposed. Many have become museums, warehouses, restaurants, bars, apartments, and the list goes on and on of the way they have taken these once houses of God and turned them into something else. Much of Europe has slipped into a post-Christian era. Add to that the many nations that have never had in all of their history an adequate witness of Christ. Friends, this morning, let some stats really stick inside of your heart as you hear them. It is estimated that the world's current population is approximately 7.8 billion persons. And of that number, 3.8 billion are still waiting to hear the gospel message for the very first time. This past week, I gathered together in California with my counterparts of the leading missions churches from across the nation. And while we were there, we heard this stat that 3.8 billion people have never once heard the name of Jesus Christ. Think about that. Not one single time in their entire life have they ever heard that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came to this world on a mission to seek and to save the lost, that God loves them, Christ died for them, and on the third day he rose again, and salvation is found in this one and only in this one called Jesus Christ. They have never heard his name, let alone the message of salvation. Let me give you some stats that I find very sobering. In Africa today, there are 926 million that are lost without Christ. Asia Pacific, 888 million lost. In Eurasia, listen to this, 2.7 billion lost without Christ. In Europe, 559 million, again, lost without Christ. In Latin America, 534 million that are yet to be reached. And in Northern Asia, 1.3 billion that are lost. Have you ever been lost? Have you been in a city and as you have, you know, made your way through maybe a major city and you got lost somewhere in that city and the feeling of lostness in that moment now began to remember what it was like when you were emotionally and spiritually, you were lost and you felt hopeless in this world. And you felt as though there is no way out of this. There are 3.8 billion persons with us on this planet this morning that feel and know the darkness and the hopelessness of being lost. And they've never heard, not once, the name of Jesus Christ. Friends, I believe it is high time for the people of God to re-engage our world. Statistics prove it out that whenever and wherever the church engages, lives, families, villages, nations are transformed. We must begin by engaging once again this world and doing so first and foremost in prayer. No spiritual undertaking will ever be effective apart from prayer. We need to pray for God's anointing upon our pastors here in the United States of America, as well as our missionaries are serving all over the globe. Friends, lives are transformed not by might nor by power, not by persuasion of men, but rather by the Spirit of Almighty God. The anointing breaks the yoke of bondage, bondages that are unique in various places around the world. The anointing, and only anointing of the Holy Spirit, can break through the bondages of religion, the bondages that they have passed on from generation to generation in ancestral worship and the like. The anointing and the anointing alone breaks the yoke of bondage. Our new and updated My Missionary, which is a very interesting little combination of materials that are available for you today out in the foyer. And you'll find inside of there, there is a missionary. My Missionary is the title of it. By the old name, it was an adoptive missionary. But My Missionary allows you to personally get to know a particular missionary or a missionary family. And so you get to know them and begin to pray for them. Friends, without prayer, the mission will fail. Without prayer, no lives will be transformed or changed. Therefore, get to know your missionary. Let me encourage you to pray for their country. Get to know the nuances of their country, the battles of their country. Pray for their protection while they're on the field. Pray for their health. Pray that God will give them open doors. Pray that there will be an anointing upon them that will break the yoke of bondage. Pray that God will raise up laborers for the harvest field. Here's what Jesus said one day when looking upon a mass of people. You'll find it in Matthew chapter 9, starting with verse 36. Now, I want you to picture in your mind a massive crowd, whether that's a crowd that you've experienced while down on the lakefront on the 4th of July, when hundreds of thousands gather in downtown and they gather together to see fireworks, or maybe it's been at one of the ethnic festivals, or maybe you were down when the Bucks were winning and you were out there in the square there and there were 60,000 other people. I want you to picture for a moment a crowd. Jesus looked upon a crowd, and here's what he said. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. So when he saw the crowds, he looked on them, and he saw them and had compassion on them. Why? Because they were harassed. You know, the enemy is a harasser, and that is exactly what he does. He harasses body, soul, and spirit. Jesus looked in the crowd and he said he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Friends, you know, statistically, right now, as of this moment, there's one missionary for every 470,000 individuals on planet Earth. One missionary for every 470,000 people. We must pray. We must pray that God will send forth laborers into the harvest field. And we must pray that the laborers that are in the harvest field will have an anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. Secondly, we must engage by going. Going must become the lifestyle once again of the church. Many of you in the house this morning, and those of you that are joining us online, you have outstanding talents, talents that can be of a great service to the kingdom of God. You know, friends, this is one of the most incredible days, I believe, out of all of history, whereby we can use our talents for God. If you have a talent and that talent has, you know, any value to it and has morality behind it, Every one of these talents can be used somehow in taking the gospel around the world. We have what's called in the Assemblies of God, Builders International. And we send teams around the world with Builders International. And what they do is they build churches, they build Bible colleges, they build, campgrounds. They do things that others cannot do within their nation. And so Builders International, which is a worldwide construction ministry. We have what is called AIM. That is for our youth primarily. And that is youth engaging, other cultures around the world and around the United States for Christ. And we have RVers. Those that have RVs and love, traveling with their RV. The Assemblies of God has a program called RVers, and it's a U.S. construction team. And we have people from our congregation that have RVs, and they're out on the road right now. And they're sharing, the gospel of Christ, yes, but they're doing so in a way they're building churches in places where they've never have a church had it not been for RV teams that come in with the skill sets of maybe electricians and plumbers and, carpenters and all of this. These are individuals, once again, that are saying, I have a talent that God has given to me that I want to use, I want to engage it in these final moments of history in building the church. Then we have MAPS teams, which is mobilization and placement service in the Assemblies of God for short-term missions, everywhere from 1 week to 2 years. You can go and be part of what God is doing around the world. Healthcare ministries, our outreach teams that go out all over the world. Why do we do this? Because we believe that time is short, that eternity is long, and there are 3.8 billion persons that are on their way to hell. And even during this service this morning, there's going to be tens of thousands that are going to pass into eternity, many of them without Christ. And we cannot sit idly by. If you're a teacher, a business person, you're IT, you work with computers, even if you're a barista, you are in media, you're a nurse, you're a doctor, you're a mechanic, you're a cook, all of these talents and many, many hundreds more that have not been mentioned, they can all be placed in the hand of God. And God will use you in an outstanding way. Whatever your skill set, I believe God can put you to work. Now, please don't think that it's too late to engage your skills for God. Possibly this morning, some of you are thinking, well, I'm close to retirement. Why not, rather than going to retirement, consider going into a missions refirement? I believe that God will fire you up and you'll find more joy in your latter years donating your time and talents to God around the world than you could ever find just sitting back in a rocking chair waiting for the next game to come on television. Let me encourage you this morning. You can make a difference. Let me also talk to you for a few moments about how we can engage through giving. Friends, I can honestly say I know of no better investment than a financial investment in the work of God. Missions has an incredible ROI. That term, many of you know, that is return on investment. Whether you look to your bank account, you're looking for an APR, you're looking for a return on a stock investment. Friends, I believe that God has a way of returning on your investment of your time, your talents, your whatever you give to Him in ways this world can never benefit you. Over this past year as a church, we have been so blessed to be part of some exciting projects around the world. We built a church in Alexandria, Egypt. Think about that. South there of Cairo, Egypt. They said the nation and the religious, doors had been so tightly closed for so long and churches sat empty. And now the government said, if you want to come and you want to get your churches open again, go ahead and do so. We're going to give you just a short window to do so. And so we, along with other churches, said, yes, we want to get back in there. We want to go back to the cradle of, you know, the cultures and of the world. We want to go there. And so we started a brand new church there in Alexandria, Egypt. Chiapas, down in Mexico, brand new church. Buenos Aires, Argentina, two major projects. One, Fountain of Life Church, the other, Advanced Church. One is running now 7,000, the other 3,000. Next Sunday, we'll show you a picture of what it was, what was going on there when we came alongside the missionaries, and you will just absolutely, it brought tears to my eyes, seeing what God is doing when we've invested there in Buenos Aires in what is now called Advanced Church. Panama City, Panama. Our ministry is there, Togo, Africa, Malaga, Spain, Pokhara, which is in Nepal, Japan, Cuba, in Colombia. 98% of the infrastructure had been destroyed. Churches that were absolutely destroyed by hurricanes that came through, training one after another, and we sent money to help them rebuild. The Dominican Republic. We have given money to City on a Hill, Teen Challenge, Chi Alpha, which is our college ministries, both here in Milwaukee and in Madison and Stevens Point and, you know, in Michigan and various places around the United States. Friends, the bulk of our missionary investments is not in brick and mortar. It's in missionaries. It's in boots on the ground. You know, giving to God's work is one way that every one of us can engage. And I challenge you this morning to engage in the mission by investing sacrificially in your faith promise giving for this next year. And let's see what God will do together as we want to make a difference in this world. Here's what I've discovered. When you partner with God, God partners with you. My youngest, well, not the youngest, but one of my granddaughters, Chloe, which is Pastor Josh and Stephanie's daughter, she's 5 years old, just started school this year. From her birthday, she saved every penny that she got. She had something very special she wanted to buy. She had about $35 saved up. This past week, she took her $35, brought it to her father, and said, I want this to go into Boys and Girls Missionary. I have no doubt that God's not going to bless the little Chloe. I have no doubt that God is going to give her the desires of her heart. Whatever it was she was saving for, I just believe this. I believe that God's going to see that she gets that because she put the kingdom first. And I just believe you cannot outgive God. And I've lived that way. And if you've not lived that way, if you're only living by what you can see, what the check roster says, what the bank statement is all about, if that's the way you've been living life, then you've been cheating yourself. You've been living in the natural. Friends, I encourage you this week to begin to think in the supernatural, see in the supernatural, hear in the supernatural. Because God is looking for people that he can partner with. And I believe that he's got ideas. He's got plans. He's got ways to advance you that this world will absolutely be amazed at. Engage. Engage in the mission. Engage by praying. Praying for our missionaries. Pray for our pastors here at this church. Pray for the pastors here in America. Pray for our missionaries around the globe. Let me encourage you to not cross off your list of what God would do in your life and through your life by going. It might be for a week or 2 weeks. You could dedicate yourself to a year somewhere in the world or 2 years. No matter what it is that you do, God can use that in his harvest field at this time. This week, let's talk about and let's begin to invest of how we can pray, how we can make going a possibility, and then how we can give in our gifts, making a difference around the world. Now, Father, this morning, we know that you love this world so much that you paid the ultimate price. We are not redeemed with silver and gold, which are corruptible things. They lose their value. We have been redeemed by the precious blood of God's only begotten Son. Thank you for the power of the blood. Thank you, Lord, for the way you've changed our lives. Thank you, Lord, for making us new. Thank you, Lord, for giving us brand new vision, how we see things. Thank you, Lord, for giving to us an ear that can hear the voice of the Spirit. Father, I pray that during this missions time, Lord, we would understand that this is not a suggestion. This was a command to your disciples to be passed down to every generation. And Lord, this morning we're here listening to the same command that you gave to your disciples after your resurrection. And you said, go everywhere and tell everyone, engage the world with the gospel. And if they will accept, their lives will be transformed and their trajectory will then become heaven. Father, I thank you that we can be part of what you're doing. And I thank you, Lord, that you have raised up men and women that are going to places all over this globe, some of which, by the very fact that they're there, their lives are every day in danger. But they're willing to go. Help us to be willing to pray for those that have been willing to go, and to help those that have been willing to go, and to give to keep them on the field. Help us, Lord, to engage in the mission, I pray. And I thank you, Lord, for all that you've got in store for us, excitement as we see you build your church. For we ask it all in Jesus' mighty name. Let's stand together as the worship team leads us in that course.